Welcome to Midnight Amen, where we're building a heavyweight mid-base stack in Ableton Live 12 that can sit on top of a clean sub and still hit like a truck. This is an intermediate sound design lesson, so I'm assuming you already know your way around MIDI clips, racks, basic EQ, and device chains. What we're making here is not just a loud bass patch. We're making a proper drum and bass weapon, mono low end, aggressive mid-range, controlled top texture, and enough movement to stay alive in a real arrangement. The big idea is simple. We're going to split the bass into three roles. First, a pure sub layer that owns the lowest octave. Second, a mid-bass core that gives us body, weight, and presence. Third, a grit layer that adds bite, motion, and definition so the bass still reads on smaller speakers and in a dense amen break. Let's start with the MIDI. Draw a simple two-bar bass line in F minor or G minor. Those are both strong choices for darker DNB. Keep the first version basic. You might place a note on beat 1. Another on the offbeat, and a longer note into the next bar. The point here is not complexity. The point is giving the sound design room to breathe. Heavy bass often gets weaker when the note pattern is too busy, because the low end needs space to feel solid. Now build the sub layer. Create an instrument rack and make a chain for the sub. You can use operator or wavetable, but operator is perfect here because it makes a clean sine style sub very quickly. Set oscillator at a sine. Turn off the other oscillators, and keep it in mono with one voice. That sub should feel stable and unapologetically simple. If the sub feels too sterile on smaller systems, add a tiny bit of saturator after operator. We're talking very subtle drive, maybe 1 to 3 dB, with soft clip enabled. The goal is not audible distortion. The goal is to create just enough harmonic content that the sub translates a little better without turning muddy. Then use EQ8 only if needed. If there's unnecessary upper noise, trim it gently. Don't overprocess a clean sine wave. And put a utility at the end with width that's 0% so the sub stays dead center and mono. A good teacher habit here is to solo the sub and check the perceived loudness, not just the peak level. If the sub is already too hot, you'll fight the whole mix later. Gain staging matters more than making every layer sound huge on its own. Next, let's build the mid-bass core. This is where the attitude lies. Create a new chain and load wavetable. Pick a waveform with strong harmonics, like saw or square, or a more complex wavetable if you want movement. For a rolling DNB bass, don't go crazy with unison width. You want pressure, not stereo haze. Two voices max or even mono is usually enough. Now add saturator. This is where the bass starts to get teeth. Drive it more boldly than the sub, maybe 4 to 8 dB, and keep soft clip on. You can try different modes depending on the tone. But the main idea is to generate harmonics that give the bass body and edge. After that, add drum bus. This device is brilliant for making the mid layer feel physical. Use it carefully. A little drive can make the bass feel larger and more urgent. A touch of crunch can add aggression. But don't overdo boom, because the sub already owns the bottom. If drum bus starts smearing the groove, pull back immediately. You want impact, not burr. Then shape the mid layer with a EQ8. High pass it around 90 to 120 Hz so it stays out of the sub's territory. If it feels boxy, cut a little around 200 to 500 Hz. If it starts sounding nasal, dip a bit in the upper mid-range. The point is to leave the low end clean while keeping enough body to make the bass feel substantial. Now add auto filter for movement. A low pass or band pass mode works well here. You can automate the cutoff, or use subtle modulation so the bass opens and closes with the groove. In dark bass music, movement is usually more effective when it's felt rather than heard. So think rolling pressure, not obvious wobble, unless wobble is the whole point. Now we build the top grit layer. This is the layer that gives the bass its voice in the mix. It's the part that cuts through the break, helps the bass read on earbuds and laptops, and gives the whole stack a more modern edge. Start with wavetable or analog, but choose something brighter and more present. Then add redux for controlled degradation. Keep the downsample and bit reduction subtle unless you specifically want a lo-fi texture. After that, try roar if you want a more modern and aggressive saturation flavor. Roar is excellent when used like a precision texture tool rather than a full-on destroyer. A little goes a long way. Then add EQ8 and high-pass it aggressively, somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz, so this layer stays out of the sub and low-mid zone. If it gets fizzy, trim the top end a little. We want character, not hash. This top layer is really important in a DNB context. In a full arrangement with drums, atmospheres, and effects, a bass that only has low-end weight can vanish in the mix. The top layer is what gives the bass identity. It's the thing that lets the bass speak. Now group all three chains into one instrument rack. This is where the patch becomes playable and practical. Map your key controls to macros. A strong set of macros would be sub-level, mid-drive, grid amount, filter open, stereo width, and output trim. Keep the mapping sensible. The sub-level should only affect the sub-chain. Mid-drive can control the saturator or drum bus on the mid-layer. Grid amount can drive redux or roar on the top layer. Filter open can control the auto filter cutoff. Stereo width should ideally affect only the top layer, never the sub. And output trim should be your final volume control, so you can balance the whole rack quickly. This kind of rack is useful because it turns sound design into performance. You can open the bass up for a drop, darken it for a breakdown, or push the grit when you want the section to feel more intense. Let's talk about making a heavyweight without getting muddy. The secret is contrast. The sub stays clean and mono. The mid layer carries the character. The top layer gives definition. If every layer is full range and wide, the bass turns into a cloudy mess very quickly. Use Utility, EQ8, and Spectrum to keep an eye on what's happening. Spectrum will show you where the bass energy is living, but your ears are still the final judge. For Dark DNB, the real action is often in the controlled low mid zone, with a stable sub underneath. That's where the bass feels powerful without just becoming a rumble cloud. Now add movement. DNB basses come alive when they breathe with the drums. You can automate filter cutoff at transitions, use Wavedible's internal modulation, or add autopan to the top layer only for rhythmic motion. If you use autopan, keep the amount low to moderate. A phase setting of 0 degrees gives you a tremolo style effect instead of stereo drift, and that's often better for heavyweight bass. Sync the rate to something musical like 1/8 or 1/16 notes if you want the movement to pulse with the track. If you have Macs for live devices available, LFO, Shaper, or Envelope Follower can be fantastic here. Use them to move cutoff, wave-eatable position, or distortion drive. Again, subtlety is your friend. Heavy doesn't mean constantly extreme. Heavy often means controlled and intentional. Now make it work with the drums. This is crucial. A bass that sounds amazing alone can still fail in context. Sidechain lightly to the kick using compressor. Keep the attack fast, somewhere around 1 to 5 milliseconds, and let the release breathe in the 50 to 120 millisecond range depending on the groove. Use a ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1. You're aiming for a subtle duck that lets the kick and snare speak, not full-on EDM pumping unless that's the vibe you want. Also listen for where the snare lies. If the bass is cluttering the snare's character zone, carve a little more mid-range out of the bass. Especially in amen-based music, the drum break is already dizzy, so the bass should support it, not fight it. A practical arrangement approach is this. In the intro, let the sub appear first and keep the mid layers filtered. Then in the build, gradually open the filter and let the top grit come forward. On the drop, bring in the full stack. On a break or turnaround, strip it back to sub and filtered mid so the next hit feels bigger. Then on the second drop, change one ingredient, maybe the note rhythm, the top layer brightness, or the amount of saturation. That keeps the idea moving without losing the identity of the bass. Here are the common mistakes to avoid. First, don't make all three layers full range. Assign each layer a job. Second, don't widen the low end. Keep the sub mono. Third, don't over distort the sub. Distort the mid and top more than the bottom. Fourth, check mono regularly. If the bass collapses in mono, the issue is usually in the upper layers or stereo processing. And fifth, watch for low mid buildup. That 200 to 500 Hz area can kill headroom fast if you're not careful. A few pro tips before we wrap up. Design the bass around the drums, not in isolation. Use call and response phrasing so the bass and break talk to each other. Layer with intent, not just volume. Save your brightest top layer for automation moments so the drop feels like it opens up. And once you've got something strong, resample it. Bounce a few bars to audio and chop it into fills, stabs, reverse hits, or transition moments. That's a classic way to make the bass feel more organic and arrangement ready. Here's a great practice exercise. Build a two bar loop in F minor with one sub layer, one mid layer, and one top grit layer. Keep the sub mono. High pass the mid above 90 Hz. High pass the top above 250 Hz. Use at least one modulation method, like auto filter or autopan. Add a little sidechain from the kick. Then bounce the result to audio and compare it to the MIDI version. After that, make two versions, one cleaner and one darker and heavier. Try changing only saturation, filter cutoff, and top layer level. You'll learn a lot from how small changes affect the entire stack. So that's the Midnight Amen Bass Stack. Clean sub, driven mid, gritty top, all glued together into one playable rack with macro control. If you keep the layers disciplined and design for the drums, you'll get that heavyweight TNB impact that sounds massive on big systems, but still translates on headphones. Build it, test it in mono, and then push it in context. That's where the real power lies.